We are looking this morning at the theological virtue of charity, John. Now, our listeners will be tired of listening to me. For the last 2 weeks, we looked at the first two theological virtues. So the first was faith, and the second was hope. So faith, just as a little reminder to ourselves and to our listeners, faith is the virtue by which we believe in God and all that he has said and revealed to us, and that the church proposes for our belief because God is truth. And then hope is that virtue by which we desire the kingdom of heaven and eternal life as our happiness, placing our trust in Christ's promises and relying not on our own strength, but on the help of the grace of the Holy Spirit. And today we turn to the last of the theological virtues, which is called charity, or love. Now, we remind ourselves again that the theological virtues are those which relate us to God himself. And they're free gifts that God places in our souls or infuses in our souls when we're baptized. So what is charity? That is the virtue by which we love God above all things for his own sake and our neighbor as ourselves for the love of God. Charity is the most important virtue because love is not only essential to how we live, but to who we are. St. Paul reminds us of that in the first letter to the Corinthians. And this is a text that will be very familiar to our listeners. It's usually used for weddings and for liturgies like that. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. In other words, we could have all the gifts in the world. We could have the gift of faith so powerful to move mountains or to heal the sick or whatever it might be. But if it's not accompanied by love, it's of no merit to ourselves or to the church. So why is it important? Not only important, why is it essential that we love God above all things for his own sake? Because A, he deserves it, and B, if we love God first and put him at the center of our lives, then all that we do will naturally have their proper order. So we'll love people according to how we're meant to love them. If we love others, either people or things, more than we love God, then those relationships are out of kilter. God has to come first. So we might reflect on that this morning. Do I put God first in every aspect of my life? You see, it's easy to say the prayer, I love you, Jesus, my love above all things. But do I live as if I mean that? And what happens if I don't? And to be honest, most of us will fall short of that type of love. So what do we do when we do fall short? Do we beat ourselves up about it? No. We turn again and again and again to the love and mercy of God. And we ask him to increase that gift of faith, gift of charity within us. As we've seen with the other virtues, the more we put a virtue into practice, the more it becomes second nature to us. So if we start to put God in the first place in all the little areas of our lives, then it'll be easier to put him in the first place in the bigger areas and vice versa. And that's how the saints lived. Of course, charity is not only a gift, and a gift is something that we might or might not use, but Jesus made charity a new commandment. In fact, he made it the new commandment. St. John's Gospel reminds us that Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you." So we are not only to love God first and foremost, we also have to love each other for the love of God. And why should we love our neighbors? Because they can be really annoying at times. We love our neighbors, we love everybody because God loved us first. By loving one another, the disciples imitate the love of Jesus, which they themselves received. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." Jesus loved us so much that he died for us while we were still enemies, as we read in the letter to the Romans. In other words, while we were still sinners, And God never stops loving us, no matter how far we've fallen into sin. But he loves us too much to leave us in our sin. He wants us to be with him forever in heaven. And so Jesus tells us to abide in his love. And that's a really important point, to abide in the love of Jesus, because we receive that first gift of charity when we're baptized, and we stay in that love by following the commandments. The author to the letter of the Romans reminds us as well that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing, of course, except for our own free will, because unfortunately, we can choose to live a life that doesn't show love. We can choose not to love, and that can destroy the gift of charity within us. So the only way of restoring that charity then is through the sacrament of reconciliation, which we should never be afraid of, because God is always there waiting for us with open arms, ready to forgive us and to pour his life-giving charity into us once more. And Jesus asks us to imitate him in all things, but especially in loving our enemies. Now, going around West Limerick or wherever we might be listening this morning, we might not have enemies per se, but we may very well have people that we don't get on particularly well with, or people that we just hate meeting in the shop, or people that we haven't spoken to in a long time because we're struggling to forgive them over something. We have said it here many times before, we don't necessarily have to like the people we love. To like somebody is a feeling, but to love somebody is a choice. It's an act of the will. And we can express that love in many, many ways. St. Paul in the letter to the Corinthians describes charity very well. He says, charity is patient and kind. It's not jealous or boastful. It's not arrogant or rude. Charity does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Charity bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. So it is the greatest of all virtues, because charity gives the other virtues life and inspires them. As St. Augustine says, love is itself the fulfillment of all our works. There is the goal. That is why we run. We run towards it, and once we reach it, in it we shall find rest. And again, as St. Paul reminds us, love never ends. Faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. So that's our little synopsis, John, on the virtue of charity. And next week, we're going to have a look at some of the human virtues.